Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Damn, you got a fat ass. But enough about that big old butt of yours. This is comedian Mike Rainey from Porch Fest 2024. And my homeboy Alan Aldridge was gracious enough to let me speak to you for a moment about my new Wicker crime novel. That's right, you heard me. New Wicker crime novel that is guaranteed to be the funniest, most fucked up thing you read all summer. The story revolves around two lovable losers named Fats and Tommy, whose lives revolve around getting fucked up, sucking fat tits, and the 2 months out of the year where they get to work at Halloween Adventure. Unfortunately, on their last day of work, they are erroneously accused of their boss's murder and have to spend the rest of the night running across town trying to fraudulently cash a check, which will give them the funds to get out of Delco or will put them in jail for the rest of their lives. This book has something for everybody. It has murder. It has stolen ATV chases. It has drug abuse. It has schizophrenic maniacs who live behind 7-Eleven smearing shit in the faces of crooked cops. It has obese Arby's managers getting their asses eaten at the end of a long shift. I promise you, if you are a degenerate like I am, you will love this book. That's Delco Dirtball, available now at onperks.com, which is onperks.com. Get ready for Porch Talk.
She come in with her knuckles bleeding, cause she don't take no dirty double dealing. She don't take no shit off of pimps or dogs with limps or drunks when they cross the line. Hell yeah, I saw you leaving, and I hope to God you keep on speeding. Maybe you can outrun them demons, you just put on the gas. I don't know where the money all went, and I don't know if I'm a hypocrite. I can't see if the candle ain't lit. The power's gone and the axle's bent. On the truck I run into the telephone pole. Because of corn, whiskey, and rock and roll. Oh, I don't know where the money all went. I don't know if I'm a hypocrite. But I can't see if the candle ain't lit. The candle ain't lit. The power's gone, the axle's bent. On the truck I run into the telephone pole. Because of corn. whiskey and rock and roll. Oh, I don't know where the money all went. And I don't know if I'm a president, but I can't see if my candle ain't lit. I'm gonna be acting fat, pour the truck and run into the telephone pole. Because of corn, whiskey, and rock and roll. Roll! Hey!
What's up?
Man, how are you?
You know, making it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just making it?
Yeah, I'm making it.
Well, good, man. It's good to be with you.
How are you?
Man, I ain't gonna lie to you. It's a dumpster fire right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's like, you know how it is, man. It's life. My ex-wife has failed to make payment on a student loan that I had co-signed with her on. And so, I've been getting hounded for the past couple of days by Sallie Mae over that. And I start my MASAP, you know, the DUI course I have to go to once a week for a month.
Right.
Guess how much that is?
Oh, you have to pay for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do ya?
Oh, what the fuck?
$225.
Ooh. Fuck.
Yeah, dude. So I'm, everybody just thinks that, you know, that I'm made of money right now, I guess.
Fuck.
Yeah. Anyway. That's what I got going on.
Damn, that sucks, man. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, on both of those fronts, I literally did it to myself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it still sucks. I mean, like, it still sucks to go through.
Yeah, it's like you ask how I'm doing. I'm just being honest.
Well, I mean, it's like when you ask, like, I'm making it. Like, I'm not, like, fucking, all sunshine and rainbows over here. But, you know, I could be worse, you know.
That, you know, that's one question. And I picked this up from foreign friends. You know, whether they were from Europe or especially like in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Like whenever someone asks how you're doing, like in most places in the world, they're actually asking how you're doing. It's not supposed to be good, and you?
Yeah, because here in America it's very dismissive.
Yeah, it's almost the opposite of the question, because the moment someone actually tells you how they're doing, you're like, God, I wish I didn't ask now, because now I got to sit through this.
Right. Well, I mean, if you really care about the person, then you want to know. Like, I mean, like, whenever I ask you how you're doing, I don't want you to bullshit me and go, you know, I'm good, you know. No, just tell me, you know. Like, because that's real, that's legitimate.
Oh, I'm definitely not gonna BS it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really gonna use this portion. I was actually gonna welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan, and I have Fire Camino here with me, and wasn't gonna use that for an intro, but I guess I will now. I mean, screw it, man. Just leave it in there.
No, I dig it. I think that was good.
It's authentic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because truthfully, this is how, because to preface this, there's so many times me and Alan talk on the phone, and it's like, oh, damn, we should have recorded that. Well, fuck it. We're cutting out the middleman. We're just recording from the get-go.
Yeah. We're, dude, my computer, can you hear it?
The little beats? What is that?
I think it's trying to communicate in Braille. Let me try a different plug. Maybe that'll. All
right.
Maybe that'll get it to stop. This house, it's an old house.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know, man. It's like some of the plugs. Like, I've noticed, like, there's some plugs in my bedroom that it won't, like, charge devices. Like, with my computer, I had it going to a surge protector just then. Now it's going directly into the wall. But on that surge protector, same outlet, it will not charge. It will just say it's plugged in. And then, like, phone or whatever else, it won't even recognize anything off that. And I was like, and it's not the surge protector. Hell, it might be. But,
I wonder if it's properly grounded. Because you know how, like, sometimes if there's a lift, it'll mess up. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, the computer charger doesn't have a ground on it, though.
Oh, it's just a two-prong?
The computer charger, yeah.
Oh, but damn.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's that old Lenovo, dude. I got that thing back in 2011. It's still kicking.
Dude, those ThinkPads were made to be indestructible. Those are like some of the best laptops.
When I bought it, Josh, I went to Best Buy in Tuscaloosa and, you know, the Geek Squad, whatever. And I walked up to the guy and I was like, man, I'm starting college, and I also, like, I want to make an investment. I want to buy a laptop that's incredibly durable, and I've been looking at processors, and I was like, all I need is an i5. And right. He's like, you want a Lenovo? You want a ThinkPad? And I was like, all right, let's get it.
Oh, yeah. Which, truthfully, for most applications, all you need is an i5, unless you want to do, like, some really serious heavy-duty gaming.
Right, but, like, and, dude, this was before that I was, before I was even into audio or, like, lately I've been trying to get more into, like, video.
Yeah.
I've got to buy a legit camera. One day I'll do that, but even with this i5 processor, man, it has plenty of processing ability to do whatever I want, you know, on the recording end of things. I mean, obviously, every episode of Porch Talk has been created off of this thing.
Yeah.
On top of, you know, a lot of the recordings from the Porch Talk record. So, yeah, very, very happy with this computer.
And speaking about nerding out about gear, I've always wanted to have this conversation with you.
Okay.
As far as guitars go, because me and you have both played a lot of guitars over the years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you like? What do you don't like? You know, what's your favorites?
Oh, man, I'm going to catch some heat on this one, dude. So when it comes to brands and guitars, and you actually gifted me one, my two favorite acoustic guitars are Breedlove and Martin, and my least favorite is probably a Taylor.
I've never had luck with Taylors.
It's the twang and the treble, man. Like, even when someone brings a Taylor to an open mic, and you know, we have a few guys who are kind of pretentious about sound. These are older guys who have been in music for a long time. And, you know, they'll walk over there to me right after I got through kind of mixing them, making them sound as good as we can, right?
Right.
And they were like, you need to add more bass and take out that treble. And I was like, look at what they're playing, dude. I've done all I can. I mean, that's what that guitar is. It's just all treble.
Right. Like, there's certain guitars that are made for a certain sound. And that's going to be it, no matter. It'd be like trying to fucking, like, twang up like a fucking, like an Ibanez with EMGs in it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, dude. And then, like, on the electric side, man, there is nothing wrong with going to Walmart and buying a first act Stratocaster.
no.
But here's the catch. Because, like, I like a Fender. I like a Tele. I like a Strat. I used to own a Gibson SG. It was too much guitar for me. It had too much balls. It was too much rock and roll. And luckily, one of my best friends from high school, he bought it from me. He still owns it. And it's still a lot of guitar. And I still get to play it. I still get to see it. But, man, I have my only electric guitar right now is a Schecter Telecaster. And if you put it up against a Fender, in some areas, I do like it better. And then there are other areas to where, you know, this is my point about the First Act guitar from Walmart. It's all about the hardware. You can put, you can redo the wiring. You can put in humbuckers, burst buckers, you know, whatever kind of pickup you want. And if you really want to get nerdy, I mean, you can put a brand new neck on it. And, like, you can completely customize that guitar. And then it'll come, it's at a place to where that thing can compete with, you know, a $5,000 to $10,000 Gibson or Fender, you know?
Well, I think people sometimes get stuck in, like, oh, well, I'm playing hard rock, so I have to have a SG. Or, oh, I'm playing country music, so I have to have a Tele. You know, it's like, no, find what works for you. It don't really matter, like, what the guitar is. It matters how it plays and how it feels, you know?
I will say this, man, the Telecaster I own now, and shout out to Josh McKenzie, Telecaster Josh on the gram, that is Taylor Honeycutt's husband.
Yeah, and, damn, I never knew that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, all he plays is a Telecaster, very perfect for the style of music that, you know, Taylor Honeycutt does.
Yeah.
But me and him was talking guitars when I was first meeting him. And I had no idea that his nickname was Telecaster Josh because that's all he would play.
Right.
And when it comes to that, like, Telecaster, Stratocaster, tone, the weight, the feel, they are very different animals. But...
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
And it's incredible, like, just how different they are, even though, you know, there's not that much different about them. But I'll be damned, you know. The only thing I don't really like about my Tele, if I'm playing a 3-hour show, it's heavy.
Yeah.
I don't know. What about you, man?
Fucking, you'll never get my favorite electric guitar that I've ever played.
Is it
I still have one.
Is it a Bunyas?
No, it's a Dean MLX. It's the fucking dime bag guitar, but I have one of the hardtails that's string through. It doesn't have the Floyd Rose on it.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite guitar. I've never had anything that's played like a Dean MLX. Like, I love that guitar to death.
How old was you when you got it?
I was probably 22,
23. Okay, so not your first guitar then, huh?
No, my first guitar was... So my first guitar was a fucking First Act acoustic that I never fucking played. But the first guitar that I actually, like, sat down and, like, learned, like, how to play on was a Squire Stratocaster.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah. I've had a couple Strats over the years. I had a Made in Mexico Strat that I absolutely loved that got away from me. And
brother, I'm gonna tell you there. I don't remember the.
I miss that guitar.
What's that?
I miss that guitar.
We had a band. It was the youth group band for a church that I was going to when I was living down in Mobile.
Yeah.
And we were in the music closet, which was mainly just full of, like, choir chairs and just books of music. And we just happened to be in there one day, and in the corner, just very unsuspecting, there was a Fender Stratocaster. And it was a Mexican. And brother, like, we started breaking that thing out with practices, and think three or four of us in the band actually played guitar. And we would just pass that thing around like it was a bong. And, dude, I would have put it up against any American.
No, it's weird because there's certain years of, like different guitar companies of where it's like, have you ever played a, like a late 90s
That's what
Japanese
that,
Epiphone?
Okay, so that Mexican Strat, it was like an early alt, which I think falls in that year. The same thing I think you're going to say about those Japanese Epiphones. Like, it's every now and then, you know, the Japanese or the Mexican, it'll stomp a mud hole in an American.
Yeah, like, no, mine was a 2004 Mexican Strat, and God, that was just, it was perfect. I've even played American Strats, and I had an American Telecaster for a little bit. I think my American Telecaster was an 88, but, like, nothing played like that Mexican Strat.
Yeah,
it's golden year, you know.
Yeah, the I mean, obviously this Mexican Strat, it didn't have a very great life before we found it, I don't think. But the action, that was the first thing that stood out to me was, man, the action on this is just perfect. It, you know, every now and then you find one that's kind of been set up or in an attic or something, and you know, you like, well, first things first is like, we're gonna have to get on the truss rod a little bit.
Right.
But it was, I mean, like you're saying with that Epiphone, dude, it was just perfect. Like the tones, the action, just the way it felt, the neck felt in your hand. Even the string spacing, which is, I think, is weird because it's fairly standard. But every now and then you'll have something that's just a little bit different.
Well, no, I mean, like, that's one of those things. Like, I'm really not biased to brands because I've played like a ton of guitars, all different stuff. Like, and again, if you've seen me live, you know, like, majority of the time I'm playing on some $30 pawn shop guitar because, like, I go and buy the cheapest guitars because either it's going to get given away or smashed at the end of the night.
Yeah, I was about to say, you do not discriminate when it comes to destroying guitars. Something I appreciate about you. I still have a piece of the first Fire Camino show that I went to. I still have that guitar. It sits in the floorboard on the shotgun side of the taco.
Hell yeah. But
along with the Mormon Bible that you autographed.
Hey man, why pay for merch if you can find it free in a Motel 6?
I'm telling you the truth, man. And I can't tell you how many times that little book has helped someone when they were in need, if they needed to borrow some paper.
Oh, yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Blessed be.
But that being said, having played all these guitars, nothing beats a Fender Strat. Even Squire. Like, Squire's gotten close, but a legit Fender Strat, nothing like it.
What about, like, when it comes to, like, amplification? Do you, like, because every amp is supremely, like, different when it comes to sound.
I like mid-80s PVs.
Okay, back when they were still in Mississippi?
Back when they were still in Mississippi, but not even, like, the tubes. Here's a little secret. Like, those old, like, PV auditions, like those 10-watt solid stamp state PV auditions, you get one of those, and you can find them at pawn shops for $20-$30, but the tone is amazing. Like, you know, and that's the thing of where, like, you don't have to pay a lot to get a really good sound. You just have to know where to go to get it, you know.
That's true. Man, I mean, right now I have a Boss Katana, and, Cool thing about it is I can plug this thing up to my ThinkPad, and, you know, I can dial in different Boss pedals, and then it's as easy as switching them out, you know, whether physically clicking buttons on top of the amp head, or you can do a Casio piano pedal.
Yeah.
And switch through them like that. It's It's a great solid state amp. I don't think there's too many guys at Guitar Gallery that would trash it. But man, I know just some of the circles I used to run in, it was always arguing over Marshall or Vox or Orange or Fender, and like everybody just takes a huge dump on PV now because they are a far cry from what they used to be.
Yeah. But back in the day, PV was awesome.
Man, PV was great. My first guitar amp and electric guitar was a PV. I had a PV Raptor and, what was the name of that amp that I had? But it was a tube amp. It was too much amplifier for me. But it was Mississippi made, and it was one of the last years in Mississippi. It was just their standard tube. Whatever that would have been.
I forget what they called those. Because it was just a number.
Yeah, it was just a number. It was like a T80 or some crap like that.
Yeah. But, I'll tell you the best rig I ever had, but it was just stupidly impractical. It was a 1978 PV bass cab that I got free because my mom... one of the ladies she worked with was like, "Hey, I found these speakers in the basement. I know Josh plays music. Do you think he'd like them?" I'm like, "Well, I'll take them." You know, I had no idea what they were.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a PV bass cab, but on top it was a PV head, but it was like a, almost like a PA head. Mm-hmm. And the head didn't work, cause it sat in the basement and just, you know, deteriorated, but the cab worked. And so I didn't have money for a tube amp, but I saw where Orange made these little, I don't forget if they're called mini or micro tears, but they're these little bitty 5-watt tube amps, and they're only like $100, or they were back in the day. I remember buying one, and like, so what you're supposed to have whenever you hook up, anyone who's ever done big ass amps knows this, like, you're supposed to have a certain amount of ohms, because if not, you'll burn up the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think the cab was 8 ohms.
That's pretty standard.
I could have this reversed, but the cab was 8 ohms and the head was only like 4.
That's probably right, dude, because, you know, did I send you the picture of the two Wilder speaker cabs I just picked up?
No, you did not. Oh, yeah, you did. Yeah, the big, tall things. Yeah,
yeah, dude, they're almost as tall as I am. They have to be, like, right at 6 foot. And when I went to go pick them up from my buddy's house, he was like, at first, I thought that they were 12-inch speakers, but looking at them now in the sunlight, it looks like you got 4 15s in each cab. And that is certainly what it looks like.
That's going to be loud.
Well, I haven't had time, and it's pathetic, but I just need to... Well, I did try, but just like what you were saying about the PA head you were talking about, my PA head is dead, and I had forgotten that, so of course I was trying to run those speakers through that head and got frustrated.
Well, hey, look, go do what I was doing and buy one of those mini or micro Terra Orange heads, and... It's the best sound because it's pushing it to the limit. So it's like a crank Marshall where it's just, you know, but you can only play it for like a half hour at a time because if not, it'll blow the fucking tube in it. But when you're doing it, it sounds amazing.
Because
it's really, it's way too much ohms. Like, it's pushing the amp to the absolute limit to make it make a sound. But when it does, it's awesome.
Not a bad idea. But yeah. I thought that would be something, because I've got 4 PVs, two 12s, and two 15s right here that I'm looking at, and these are for PA, right? You put them on a stand or put them on the floor, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And then I have a whole rig, a whole board that was donated. All that was donated to me from a local high school. And then I picked up those dual Wilder cabs. They were $100, and gotta get those guys tested. Probably after I get through talking to you, I'll hit my buddy up. He lives across town. He's a electrical engineer, and man, every time you go over to his house, he's always working on something. Like, he used to build his own amplifiers and guitar pedals.
That's cool.
It is pretty cool. It's kind of like, you know, I always really enjoy what Southside Guitars does, man. I had him on the show, and I really enjoyed sitting down and getting to know that guy.
No, he's built some great stuff. Like, I know just from the stuff he's built for Taylor. Like, it's, like, really, really high quality, good stuff.
Yeah, that's something, too. That's something to think about, too, is whenever, it's always funny when I'm, you know, looking at people I admire or respect, and you get to looking at their rig, and their entire rig is custom.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I will never know. I'll have to personally talk to this person about what exactly is going on, because I had no frame of reference, because there's no name brand on this.
Yeah, because especially like down here in the South, like everyone's got that DIY attitude. So much of our stuff is like, oh, well, my buddy Terry built this out of an old drum, and you're like, oh, well, okay, you know.
You know, that sound that I thought I heard, now it completely makes sense now that you're talking about it like that.
What do you use for amps? Oh, I just tore the audio system out of a 2006 Dodge Caravan and put it in a cab, and you're like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, you know, that is the first time that I've heard aftermarket tweeters inside of a guitar amp. That's interesting.
I went down to pull apart.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be real amazed what you can find at those pull aparts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those Wilder cabs, man, they came from an estate sale.
You find a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, you know, and it's still disappointing to hear, you know, your first time over here in Starkville, you know, you told me that you had stopped by some of the pawn shops.
Yes.
And, man, I'm guilty of popping in there, like, on a lunch break just to see what they got going on. And it's never anything good, dude. I never come across any kind of gems or anything. It's always, like, you know, some tools for cheap. But I kind of like halfway would feel bad if I bought used tools from a pawn shop, because I know what happened. I know the backstory of those tools.
That's true, but sometimes you really need a sawzall.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, I get it, no, because I always feel like guilty and weird about it too. But also too, I'm like, I can't even afford Harbor Freight at the moment. I gotta,
Oh man, that reminds me of a story. I was helping a buddy of mine work on his car. And
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Familiar with the kind of jacks that we were using. I was like, man, where'd you get these jacks from? He's like, Harbor Freight. And I was like, all right, that's enough. He's like, what is it? And I was like, I am not getting under a car with a Harbor Freight jack. Like, I have nothing against using their wrenches or their screwdrivers, but I am not putting my life in a jack from Harbor Freight.
I do it all the time, but also I don't value my life. So.
Oh gosh, that's dark.
I guess.
Well, dude, man. So, man, last we spoke and had a friend of mine here in the music community in the Golden Triangle reach out to me about the episode. Old JD Spencer said he enjoyed your last episode.
Well, which is amazing, because last episode I was so fucking drunk, I sounded like Joe Biden at the end of it.
Well, we were both working on one. Dude, it's funny that you brought him up. I'm not really... I wouldn't consider myself a political junkie, but American politics has been on the fritz for about 2 weeks now, huh?
For about 2 weeks? We've been fucked for fucking, what, the past 8 years?
Maybe longer, as long as I can remember now that you mention it.
Right, you know. But no, this last 2 weeks has been like, you ever get like where something's going so fast that you're like, all right, whoa, hold on, we got to pump the brakes, and then it gets a little faster, and you're like, I didn't even know we had that gear.
yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Be like, oh, dude, by the way, I see the cliff, and if we don't get this thing under control and stop, we're going to fly right over, and it's like, uh-oh, we're not going to stop, are we?
Right. No, I mean, it's been wild.
I know we talked a little bit about it off the record, but man, the one thing I will say is, man, he is just, whatever he turned his head to look at was, boy, that was still a shot heard around the world per se, but boy, you know, it's been interesting, like, watching, like, your gun nuts go back and kind of recreate that shot. Have you watched any of that?
I haven't watched any of that, but it is hilarious to see, like, people who have never been around firearms at all be like, oh, well, a gunshot would have done way more damage. It's like, it was a .22.
Right. Right.
It's basically a BB gun, you know.
Yeah, the reason a .22 can kill a deer, they say, is like, let's just say you hit it in the chest. It's not that it just blows that deer out. When it enters, it literally just rattles around the rib cage until it just, you know, it petri dishes the lungs there.
Well, I mean, a .22 can kill a human. I mean, it's like, I mean, they're still damaging rounds, but it's like, yeah, of course his fucking head didn't explode. He got grazed. He got, like, even if it was a fucking .308, he got grazed, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't know. Some of the conspiracy theories and bullshit online, it's just been, like, so asinine. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's been interesting, just seeing, because it's usually the right that gets more and so, can, you know, QAnon, and gets accused of living out in a conspiracy world, but the left kind of really showed their ass here for the past couple weeks.
Dude, so two that stick out to me are the fucking Blood Pack Hollywood fucking thing of where he just knelt down and pinched it. He started bleeding. Mm-hmm. That's fucking stupid. But the stupidest one of all is the people that are like, oh, well, he paid him to shoot him.
Yeah, because that's definitely a thing.
And it's like, do you have any fucking understanding of how a firearm works?
No, they don't. It's hilarious. It's hilarious to me, like, his first words right after it happened, let me get my shoes. It's like, that's the last thing I'm worried about, but all
right. Right. If I just got shot, I'm peacing out. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. You know, the closest conspiracy thing that kind of made the most sense to me was, like, that whole inside thing, because it did not look like Secret Service was doing their job at all.
So, I want to give a little context. So, the day after the shooting, mostly I have to work Saturdays. Mm-hmm. I'm always off on Sundays. So, normally, you know, when Jesse's home for the summer, me and him normally go on a hike every Sunday.
Yeah.
So I go to pick him up like normal. And I go and I pick him up. Now, 6 in the morning. I pick Jesse up. Jesse's been up all night like it was the fucking Warren Commission. He's got videos from 4chan. He knows who the shooter is. He's got all these clips from, like, he goes, look, the Secret Service. How could they not see the shooter? They're pointing in the direction. If you look at the snipers on the roof, and I'm like, dude, it's 6 a.m. I need some time. I need some coffee. Give me a minute. I'll listen to whatever you got to say.
Yeah, just not yet.
No, but it is ridiculous to go, like, how do you not cover a rooftop that's 435 feet away?
Right. Yeah, the whole thing, it is strange, and, like, almost, what, a week, possibly 2 weeks now have gone by, and there's still not a good answer.
Well, also, too, I thought this was crazy. So, the shooter in 2012, I'm probably getting the fucking date wrong.
Was in a Black Rock commercial?
Yeah! What the fuck is that?
And they since scrubbed it.
But here's the thing, and people are like, well, that's just a coincidence. And I'm like, I don't know about you, I don't know anyone in a fucking BlackRock commercial.
I don't either. And so, and that's interesting too, because if he is tied to BlackRock, like, and stepping out here in conspiracy land, but if BlackRock doesn't like Trump, that kind of makes me like him.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, because, I mean, I don't like Trump, but, like, dude, like, who stands to lose the most? Because Trump's already been like, I don't like the war in Ukraine, and I don't really know his stance on the war in Israel, but it's like, the person that stands to gain the most off the war in the Ukraine is all the hedge fund investment groups.
That's true.
So, if your money, and we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, is being in jeopardy, you'd probably do some crazy shit to keep $100-something million in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's, and just over to Biden just for a second. So, a good friend of mine, you know, we came up out of high school together, and we hung out a lot, like, during the college years. And I lost touch with him when I moved down to Mobile. I think he lives, like, it might be Montana. I'm not sure. It's somewhere out west, right? But he popped back up on social media. And, you know, during the 2020 elections, he was on Team Biden. Like, he was part of the campaign. And so, like, I see, like, what, yesterday or the day before? No, it was Sunday when Biden officially dropped out. Anyway,
something like that. Yeah.
You know, he made this big long post, you know, like, you know, just, you know, hey, good 4 years, da 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 da. I was like, was it really? But Jesus. It like, he lost me with the Afghanistan pullout. That really made, like, the last 20 years really seemed like for absolutely nothing. And I was like, yeah, I don't like this guy at all now.
Yeah.
I mean, just I just feel that way about war in general. Like, whoever, whether it be the Ukraine, Russia, or whether it's with Palestine and Israel, the border does mean a lot to me. But, and I think Trump says it best, really, is what's your plan for people to stop dying? This is a very stupid war. And so, like, I like that stance, and I'm for that.
Well, it's like, whether it comes to the wars overseas, or hell, even with Trump just getting shot, violence is the failure of humanity. The thing that makes us human is our ability to communicate and problem solve and go like, okay, well, I see your point, and I see your point too. When you result to violence, that's when we're resorting back to that primal animalistic behavior, and that is a failure of humanity. Anytime there is violence, we have failed as humans.
That's 100%, because the first thing that a person does when they can't win an argument is, well, at least I can probably kick your ass.
Yeah, and then that's like, it's all gone out the window at that point.
Or like, if I can't win mano a mano, well, I've got a 357 out in the truck, and I bet that can help me win. Or a switchblade, whatever. Right. Totally true, man. When I was younger, yeah, sure, a scrap or two. Haven't been in a fight in a long time. Hope I don't never have to fight again. But, I mean, there have been times, you know, in recent months, recent years, to where getting in a heated argument almost to a point of throwing fists. And, like, that was right when we're knocking on that door. It's like, brother, if we cannot figure this out with our words, let's just go home, because fighting it sure as shit ain't going to solve nothing. You ain't like, it may bring like immediate gratification, but when you wake up the next day, especially if alcohol is involved, you're not going to feel good about what you did, whether you won or lost.
Right.
And neither one of us are getting paid to do this. It's not like we're in the UFC or whatever else. So it's like, there's really no point.
Well, I think nowadays, like, people are scared and people are desperate, so it makes you a lot more willing to, like, result to something as extreme as violence, because it's like, yeah, no one, regardless of what side you're on, knows where the fuck we're going, you know? Yeah. Or, like, even with small, simple, like, you know, somebody cuts you off in traffic or something happens at the grocery store. You see so many videos online of people fucking snapping now. And it's not that that person cut them off or that they fucking grabbed the last mango at the fucking grocery store. It's all the bullshit that's led up to it. It's, oh God, I'm having to pay $4 a gallon for gas, and I don't know how I'm going to make next month's rent. Fucking, I got to make sure the kids are taken care of, and what kind of future are they going to have? And fucking, everyone is so fucking stressed and on edge nowadays that it's so easy to be like, hey, fuck you, because everything is a personal attack now, because everyone's just trying to make it. It's like how I said at the beginning of this conversation, you asked me how it was, I said, I'm making it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's striving anymore. No one's like, woo, everything's great. No, nobody is, because it's a struggle. Everyone's struggling. And we lack empathy to go, oh, I'm not the only one going through this. So is the other guy on the other end of that.
Amen, man. Yeah, whether it be, I can't tell you how many viral videos I've seen of, you know, just getting somebody getting the best of you in traffic, whether it be cutting you off or I've seen people taking parking spots, and like, you get back out to your car and that person had done slashed their tires, or a guy getting out of his vehicle at a red light with his gun, going up to the guy who had cut him off and that guy rolling his window down with his gun and go ahead and finishing him off, you know? But I mean, exactly what you said, it wasn't that moment. That was just the last straw. Like, right. there was so much more that led up to that we have no idea. I mean, dude, like, I drive and work in the city Monday through Friday. I usually get flipped off anywhere from 3 to 10 times a day, you know? It's not uncommon. And it's funny, like, looking back in the mirror or, like, just seeing their interaction as they pass me angrily in a no-passing zone is, brother, I'm not going slow because I want to. Like, this truck reads meters, and, like, 15, 20 miles an hour is optimal speed for me to get these reads. I'm not trying to make you late to whatever you're going to. I'm just literally right. doing my job. Yeah. And so, man, and like, some of them are worse than others, dude. And I see it on a daily basis. Like, sometimes people roll their window down just to flip me off and tell me what they think about me. And it's like, I bet if we met at the next red light, you'd probably be cool. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I think part of that is, too, where, like, people, like, nowadays with, like, Instagram and fucking everything else, of where, like, we're so in this kind of, like, go, 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 instant gratification, or fucking, like, everyone's so high-paced and high-strung nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just because of the environment around us, so it's very easy for us to get frustrated when things don't go our way, or, like, oh, I'm gonna have to take it a little slower, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, like I shared at the beginning of this episode is, I'll definitely say that I'm making it too. It's just things have really been stacking up on me lately. And, you know, thank God it's only finances, because, I mean, it could be my health on top of the finance. I mean, it could be so many other things going horribly wrong, because, you know, like, I have a budget already set for Porch Fest 25, and it's the end of July, and so we're practically, we're 7-8 months out. I've already raised 17% of the money that I want to raise, and that is for me to be able to pay the musicians better than I did last year, to pay the comedians and have more comedians, pay them all better and treat them better than I did last time, and, like, to continue to up the bar. It's like, for the people who are coming just to enjoy the entertainment and just hopefully, like, this is music and comedy discovery. I mean, that's really how I'm pitching it and trying to market this year's Porch Fest. It's going to be the biggest one that we've done to date, and I'm really excited about putting it on, and I'm really happy, Josh, that you're going to be a part of it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. Hey, Alan, guess what? We have a special guest.
Oh, who we got? Jesse?
Nope, not Jesse.
Mom.
Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Fire Camino's mom.
Fire Camino's mom in the house.
she just got back from a prayer group, didn't you?
I sure did.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah, lift me up. But yeah, dude.
Yes.
And so, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go. You were talking. I'm sorry.
But yeah, like, with everything, like, I guess personally, that just isn't necessarily going my way. I mean, that is one thing that I look at to kind of keep my head up is, like, well, we're doing pretty good on that front, at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's something to look forward to, and we're meeting and reaching our goals, and, you know, maybe we could have set our sights a little bit higher.
Well, if you stick to, like, having something to shoot towards and having something like, hey, this is going to be, you know, something to strive for, then that's a good thing. Because I think, like, sadly, a lot of people don't have goals. They're just kind of going day by day, and they don't have anything to fucking, you know, live for. I mean, sadly, they're just kind of like, blasé about life. You know,
that's wild, dude. You know, do you think that maybe this is because, and I have no idea, would you think that this is the same type of person who states that they don't have an inner dialogue voice in their head?
I think so. I think there's a good bit of people that don't have that.
That's weird, dude. Like, that is almost an argument I would make is, like, do you have a soul?
Well,
I don't know if it's that they don't have a soul. I think it's that a lot of people are lost out there. They have nothing to live to. They've gone through their life just getting knocked down over and over and over again. And not everybody has the capacity to get back up. You know, after a while, you just don't get back up. And I think that's where those people are. They don't set goals because they've never had an opportunity to meet the first one.
Well, they've just been beaten into submission by life.
Yeah,
that's a good point. That's pretty good insight. Like that. And I mean the soul thing as a joke, but yeah, dude, it's crazy. Like people, you know, just within my job, meeting the people who are in Section 8 housing. And it's exactly, I believe, what you're describing is, like, as far as an aspiration or a goal or even trying to go on a vacation to, you know, go somewhere nice or go somewhere that they've never been. I mean, they don't aspire to that. I mean, the thought is it really hasn't even crossed their mind.
Well, yeah, because they don't have anything to, I mean, like, it's not a reality for them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Working at a school, we have Section 8 housing, and that is very real. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to get food on the table each night. They're not worried about anything past today.
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of reminds me, like, we used to do these mission trips to Guatemala and different parts in South America. And, you know, you're going down there to do whatever kind of ministry, food drives or help build a home, whatever. And the saying would always be is, you're going to be the one that gets the blessing, the big return on this. And like that's kind of the takeaway is you really got it made. You just hopped on a plane and went to this new country to go help out people who don't have it as well as you do, and they don't have the same worries or anxieties or whatever else as you do, because it's very day-to-day. Like, we used to do a ministry where we would go down to this dump, and it was literally this valley, and it would be a bunch of single mothers down in this valley, like digging through just heaps and heaps of trash looking for food, and their children would be at the top of the mound just playing, you know, with whatever they could find just to pass the time. And we would, you know, go out there and try to help them and pray for them or whatever else. And it was like, man, I'm looking at it, I'm seeing this, but I didn't realize how bad it was for another human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I mean, like, until you're like confronted with it, it's hard to, like, you know. Because here's the thing: you can watch the news and read National Geographic and all this other stuff, but until you're like connected, also too, like, I think that's the problem we have, like, with our news, where our news is so bad, it's bad all the time. Where it's like, there's this earthquake and name a country, Thailand, or, you know, or a tsunami or whatever, and then, like, you hear about all, you know, oh, 30,000 people are dead, blah, 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 and then it just becomes a number. It just becomes another thing of where, and then you just, after a while, you get dissociative, and you go, oh, well, fuck it, who cares? You know, like, you don't care, you know?
True that, man. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that... Any time it's about weather, like with hurricanes or anything like that, you're right. It's like, yeah, we'll just stick a name on that bad boy. Where are we at on the alphabet? It's H. Let's call it Henry.
Right, it's going to be the most devastating thing. It's going to tear families and, like, whole careers and things people have built from, like, oh, I was a teenage boy and I've always wanted a bike shop and I finally have worked up and saved up and I've got my own bike shop, and then somebody, you know, a hurricane comes and destroys it.
We were, this is back in 2011 when the tornado had torn through Tuscaloosa doing all that damage.
Yeah.
Well, there were other smaller communities in Alabama that were hit just as hard or harder by that same storm. Like Hackleburg is an example. And we went up there to kind of help them get their lives back in order and kind of help piece whatever they had left back together. And the guy that I had ridden up there with, he was a pretty interesting interviewer. And place is no stranger to tornadoes. Like, some of the families we talked about, like, this wasn't the first time that they lost their home and everything that they owned to a storm, right? And, you know, his question was, have you ever considered, you know, I don't know, moving to, you know, somewhere else? And they was like, this is home, man. Like, even though I just lost everything, it's like, this is where I'm from, this is where my family is from, this is all that I know. And, like, We'll build up again. We'll start over. I was like, "Geez, man, that's something."
Yeah, no, because you built your whole life there, you know.
Yeah, and I've hell.
I mean, that's where you grow up. That's where all your memories are.
True that, and just like within those storms, I mean, they've lost all their photographs, or you know, all that. All the keepsakes from, you know, whatever else. It's crazy, like, just going through the rubble and just turning things over and what you find and just how much these little trinkets. I mean, it's a memory. There's something tied to those little things.
Yeah, because there's some, I mean, Mom, like, I remember being a kid and she took so many photos.
Oh, yeah. If I lost my pictures, then I would be devastated, because that's where my memories are attached. We go through the pictures all the time and go, hey, do you remember this? Do you remember when we did this? Remember when we went there? And that sort of thing. So if I lost all my pictures, oh, it would just kill my heart.
I mean, especially like now, I can't remember nothing. I don't know if it's because of the stuff I breathe in at work or drinking or what, but like, I, you know, so without those pictures, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, shoot. Anything else to do, man? We're right at that hour mark.
I think that's about it, man.
Oh, two things. And I'd like to have her on the show. Plug your new friend and your record. Your friend's new record and your record.
Etika, I cannot pronounce her last name. Ediponte. She recorded that record when she was up in New York. Brody put it out. And I did the physical release on it. City Bird is what it's called.
City Bird? City Bird?
City Bird, yep.
Okay.
She recorded that when she lived up in New York. You can find that at rootrequest.bandcamp.com. And while you're there, you can listen to my new album, Another Sniff for Mr. Snubnose.
Yeah, and and at the end of this episode, which is where we're headed, is you'll hear the song Hope off of Another Sniff for Mr. Snubnose.
Did you do Watermelon Ford Loco instead?
Yeah, let me get on Bandcamp and spend a dollar.
You don't have to spend a dollar, it's free.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's name your own price. Just put a zero.
Huh.
Yeah.
I learn something new every day. I always try to at least... Dude, I'll do a dollar. Come on.
Nah, I don't need the money.
Dude, you could totally get that internet dollar. Like, you could put it in an internet frame.
It's true. No, it all goes to the label.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get that dollar. I'll get nothing.
You got a point. Gonna hit that zero on him.
Hit the zero. Don't give Brody anything.
All right, shout out to you, Brody. We were wanting to have you on Porch Talk, but I think we just messed that up.
No, Alan still loves you.
All right, Josh, appreciate you, man.
Anytime, man. Take care.
Somebody's son, now you're nobody's daughter. You walk the street, head filled with wonder. You paint your nails and you paint your eyes. You paint it yourself into a shape you recognize, yeah. Watermelon Ford Loco. Drunk to drive. I've been waiting all year to see this band. It's the only thing that's kept me alive. Broken hearts drink from shatterproof bottles. You hold my hand like there's no tomorrow. Hanging out behind the firehouse, I guess we better go in and see what this opener's all about, yeah. Watermelon Ford Loco. Too drunk to drive. I've been waiting all year to see this band. It's the only thing that's kept me alive. Yeah, Watermelon Ford Loco. I can see it in your eyes. I've been waiting all night for a moment like this, but I'm just too damn drunk to drive. Yeah, but I'm just too drunk to drive. Oh, but I'm too drunk to drive.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.